Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor, say, you're going to be so glad you sit by me. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Bless the Lord. You know, my youngest daughter, who is, to God be the glory, serving the Lord, and worship. She's a worshiper. And she said to me one day, she said, Pastor, she said, Daddy. She calls me Pastor when we're at home. She said, Dad, she said, I know that Amazing Grace means a lot to you and the older crowd. I cut her allowance at that time. She said, but it just doesn't do a whole lot for me. She was being respectful. And I said, honey, it's because you haven't been through the things that some of us have been through. And when you've been at a place where you know it was only by the grace of God, that it was by His grace and through His grace that you made it, it means something different, doesn't it? I remember a time I learned to play the piano. I taught myself to play in, it sounds like it too, don't it? I taught myself to play when I was in the seventh grade. And I would play the song Amazing Grace when my dad and the rest of the church would sing it, and I wasn't saved at the time, and people would just cry and worship, and I would think, I don't get it. You know, won't that be a hallelujah time when we can get on the other side? I get it. You know, I got that one. You know, we get on a little Southern gospel going on, I'd be doing my thing. We called it Three Chords and a Cloud of Dust. Amen. And so we'd rock that bad boy. I understood that. I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory. I was like, yeah, okay, I can get that. But Amazing Grace, I didn't get it. Until I've been through some stuff. And His grace was sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Thank God for grace. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, I know that Pastor Steve told you, that we need some men to go back there and sign up on the way out. And don't make me call on you. Don't make me call you. I'll hold you hostage Sunday. But no, we need you. And I know that it's going to be a great time. So you go, well, Pastor, I'm kind of new to the church. Great opportunity to get to know some people. Amen. Pastor Reed, I don't like working. I don't have much for you there. I'll pray for you, lazy hound dog. Amen. If you are like me, my wife, she waits on me a lot. And if your wife don't ever wait on you, I'm sorry. But maybe you ought to treat her right, and maybe she will. But anyway, that's another whole message. So I think it's pretty easy and simple for us to honor the mothers and come and minister to them and treat them good. Amen. Amen. And you know what? After we get through serving them, usually we get to eat if there's anything's left. Mm-hmm. I have caught a few men sneaking off before the work was over. Say, hey, Doc, we ain't done yet. But make sure you go out there and sign up. Amen. And if they'll be calling you to, if you have a preference, whether to be a server or in the kitchen, whatever, then let us know. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to say that. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm not going to say that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 11. I want to talk to you tonight. Well, God really began to deal with me on this a couple of weeks ago, and then really got strong on it today. And I want to talk to you about breaking soul ties. Breaking soul ties. And now some people go, you know, well, I don't believe in soul ties. And, you know, and because of the fact that some people go, oh, well, I found my soulmate. I didn't know a soulmate could only be for 3 weeks. You know, soulmate is really not scriptural, but anyway, I won't get into that tonight. But I want to talk about soul ties, and we'll deal with what soul ties are and some other things. And I want to jump in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And it says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the folks in Corinthians. And he says, you are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own affections. Wow. That'll preach right there. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Verse 12 says, now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with what? Would you everybody say that again? With unbelievers. You know, now, you know, we live in an age, and I get this quite often. You know, we have several, in our church, we have several multicultural or multiracial couples. And sometimes I have people, you know, some people, and I don't mean to call you ignorant, but some people go, well, ain't that what that means? It didn't say don't be unequally yoked with color. Well, I just don't believe in that. Well, it's your belief. We could go back to the first one where it said, go back to two scriptures, Broderick. You are restricted. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. All right, now let's go back. So do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, what I don't understand, I've been pastoring now for a little while. What I don't understand is how people can find their quote unquote soulmate, the person they want to spend the rest of their life with, and they find them who do not even believe the way they believe. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, that means we're supposed to shun them altogether. That's not what it means. It means don't be yoked to them. Me and my wife, we are yoked together through good and bad, thick and thin, sickness and in health, until death do us part. Amen. So, well, there just aren't any good men in the church, and there aren't any good women in the church. Once again, ladies and gentlemen who are not married, and let me speak to the women, because I'm going to put it on you. If you will raise your standards, the men will rise up to those standards. Because as a man, we want what you got. All right? Amen. If you would not let a man treat you that way, they would not treat you that way. Amen. Now, let me just, I could go off on that, but I won't. Because see, I raised two daughters. So I know what I'm talking about. All right, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Let me tell you what I found many, many times. Many, many times I found when people get married to folks who are not in church or even who are not on the same level that they are, usually they wind up out of church pretty quick. I've seen people come to church and find somebody that's single, and then the next thing you know, you're looking around, where are they at? Well, they got out of church. They out of fellowship. They're out of unrighteous. They're out there because, you know, they just came to church to find a good person. But we fail to forget what makes them a good person is God in their life. Oh, help me somebody. It is only, you know, I am the man that I am, not because that I'm all that in a bag of chips, because I continue to keep God in my life. All right? And all of us, and Lord help me, but all of us have the tendency to not be what God wants us to be if we stay out of fellowship with Him. You know, if we work out all the time, right? You can tell I don't. But anyway, if we worked out all the time, how many knows it doesn't take long for your body to revert back to what it once was? And your spirit is the same way. That if you don't stay in the Word of God, in the fellowship of believers, in the fellowship of the Spirit, if you don't stay in the Word of God, you will eventually wind up in the same place that you was before you came to know Jesus. And matter of fact, in my opinion, I believe it would even be worse. Why? Because it's like sweet tea and chocolate cake. You can't eat chocolate cake and drink sweet tea because the sweet tea doesn't seem sweet anymore because you have tainted your palate with the chocolate cake. And I hate to use even that analogy because tainted is not with chocolate cake. But anyway, it's an oxymoron, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. But that's what happens is we come to know Jesus and we fall in love with Him, or maybe we don't fall in love with Him because it was a long time before I fell in love with Jesus. I got to say, because I didn't want to go to hell. I mean, y'all can say what you want to. Oh, I just realized that Jesus loved me. I was raised in the church and I just came to the conclusion, man, I don't want to go to hell. So, you know, I might as well get saved. And I got saved, and then not too long ago, then the Lord called me. And then I remember even saying, God, I don't love you like that person. I don't love you like that person. I'm sorry I don't love you like that. I want to. I desire to, but I don't. But then God, and once again, I hadn't been through enough. Amen? So anyway, I have no idea where I was at. Chocolate cake, sweet tea. Oh, yes. So once you've tasted of the goodness of the Lord, and then you go back on Him to get the same high you used to get, you got to go deeper. So in my opinion, you know, I've heard preachers say the most miserable people in the world are those who don't know Jesus. I disagree. It are those who have once known what it is to be in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but then are out of fellowship with God. Those are the most miserable people. So what accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Now I want to hit right there. It doesn't say come out from among them and be ye weird. Come out from among them and be ye separate, but not separated unto thyself. But be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So I really want to talk about that portion there. Don't be unequally yoked. The Bible speaks of what is today known as, we call it soul ties. Do you know that there is a website called Christianese Speech? I found it today. It's pretty cool. Christianese Speech. Because we don't realize it, those of us who have been in church long enough, but we speak in Christianese. And sometimes we don't, you know, you hear people say things, if you haven't been raised in church, you don't really know what they're talking about. Like when people go, you know, if you've been in church, we know if we go, hey, you want to have fellowship? That means let's go eat. Right? I mean, but if you're in a room full of guys. And I love this one, you know, which it wasn't, I didn't read this one on there. I've known this one for a while, but I love to be in a room full of guys and some man pray, "Oh God, I just want to lay prostrate before you." What about my prostate? You know what I'm saying? So it can get a little different if you don't know Christianese. Amen. So anyway, it talked about soul ties. And in the Bible, it doesn't use the word soul ties, but it speaks of them when it talks about souls being knitted together, becoming one flesh. And the first time it talks about it is in Genesis 2:24, where it says, "And that Adam and Eve shall become one flesh." He said he was bone, or she. He said she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and they became one flesh. In Mark it talks about, a husband shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jonathan and David, the Bible says that their souls were knitted together in 2 Samuel. And so we've got to understand that this concept of soul tie might not be something that the Bible says soul tie, but it is something that is very real in our culture today. A soul tie can serve many functions, but in its simplest form, it ties two souls together in the spirit realm. Now hear me now. It ties two souls together in the spirit, not the flesh realm, but the spirit realm. And the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. Soul ties between married couples draw them together like magnets. If you're going to have a soul tie, it needs to be your spouse. While soul ties between fornicators and soul ties can draw a beaten and abused woman to the man, which in the natural realm she would hate and run from, but instead she runs to him even though he doesn't love her and treats her like dirt. In the demonic world, unsoul ties, can serve as bridges between people who pass demonic garbage through. See, you wonder, why can't I get away from this relationship? Let me tell you something. Why can't I get away from the abuse? It may be a soul tie. Let me read a letter from a Christian author, a woman Christian author. Soul ties are invisible bonds, wreak havoc on people and on many marriages and so many Christians. But here's what she wrote. She said, "When I was 17, I naively thought the sexual behavior I partook in was harmless and momentary. I reconciled in my head that because we had intentions on getting married," listen to me, Christian dating folk, "because we had intentions on getting married and because our hearts were right toward each other, that sexual activity was somehow okay." Well, we're engaged, it's okay. No, it's not. 2 years later, here's her letter. 2 years later, when we split up, my heart literally ached. I remember standing in the grocery store parking lot where he worked, just wanting him to hug me one last time. Her words, "He was like a drug, a good drug that I needed. I was going through withdrawal over a silly boy, but my body ached without him. Friends told me to move on, but I could not get past the feeling that part of me had suddenly been ripped away. Recovery was slow and painful, filled with anger, rebellion, and a new tattoo." Her letter. "The next time it will be different," I told myself. Boy, was I right. It was all kinds of different. 7 years of hell ended with exposed lies, infidelity, and abuse. Way different from my straight A honor society college bound beau. Yet the old familiar feeling of needing my fix still came even after I dumped his clothes in the driveway. I was addicted. But to what? This time, unlike before I initiated the breakup, I knew he was a loser, though I see him differently now, and I knew it was a very unhealthy relationship, yet for months we had conjugal visits. It seemed I was the prisoner sentenced to a life of longing fulfilled only by someone I didn't love and didn't even want to be around. Twisted, isn't it? And it is. That's what unholy soul ties will do to you. Unholy soul ties. You know, now I look around and I would say probably 70, 80, 90% of the people sitting here today we're married, and so you know we don't have that problem, you know, but there are some that are not married that are sitting here. Quite a few as I look around. But then there are others of us that we have friendships and people that we hang with that keep pulling us back into something. And we're like Paul. I don't want to do this, but yet I find myself doing it. Who shall deliver me from the wretched man that I am? But then the Bible says that Paul says, Jesus shall deliver you. That's who it is. Amen? So this is what happens when we have sexual experiences outside the confines of marriage. Now hear me, church. In the confines of marriage is where God expected and designed for sexual relations to happen. Oh, here we go. That's right, we are. So just tighten your seatbelt. For God's sake, if we don't talk about it in the house of God, where, you know, that's the problem, is they got too many young boys and men that find out about it by Hustler magazine and Playboy and the pornographic material on the internet now, and you think that's what lovemaking is. I asked a couple that I was doing some premarital counseling with. I asked a couple, and they were in their 20s. It wasn't these. So anyway, I asked a couple, do you know, that was the last young couple I married. I said, do you know the difference between making love and having sex? And the girl says, no. And the boy goes, no. I have no idea. It's okay. We got a long, let's do another session. But every time we have a sexual experience, we are creating deep-rooted bonds with the other individual. You think it's harmless. You think it's a one-night stand. No, you're creating a soul tie. There are a few different terms used to describe these bonds, but the most popular one is soul ties. Now let's talk about the dynamics of soul ties. Point number one. The dynamics of it. A soul tie is defined as a spiritual connection between two people who have, here we go, because you're going to go, well, I'm good because I was chaste. I was, you know, bless God, I'm not active and I wasn't active and bless the Lord. Okay. A spiritual connection between two people who have been physically intimate with each other or who have had an intense emotional or spiritual association or relationship. You remember I told you? You cannot have prayer meetings with the opposite sex who is not your spouse. Why? Because it is a spiritual connection. You know, now you may say, well, I don't understand this, but you ask any preacher or any a person who has ministered and has, you know, and some of you who have ministered one-on-one and even if of the same sex, and you read their mail or you really minister to them, and they just have a special bond with you. My mentor, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost under his in one of his meetings. He became my mentor. A good spiritual connection, right?
I remember the service that I got saved was in my sister and her husband's revival. And for years we were, and we still are, but not like we were. But man, I was just in awe of them. Why? Because it's not just sexual relationships, but it is intense emotional or spiritual association. I'm trying to help somebody. That's why you got to be careful that you don't lay down with every ministry that comes your way. Now, please hear me. I know I'm not saying that our church is the only one, and blood of God, you don't need to listen to nobody. No, no, no. See, I have the ability in many cases to listen to other people who I don't agree with, but eat the meat and spit the bones out. But some people swallow hook, line, and sinker. Amen? All right. So if you think of sex inside the confines of marriage, it's a wonderful thing. God created us. And I want you to get this. God created us to have sexual relations with our spouse that in turn creates deep-rooted, deep-seated bonds, a soul tie. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because after the honeymoon, bad breath comes. Any of you single people that you see on TV when they wake up and we just wake up kissing each other? No. Me and Sherry was watching TV, what, it was last night or the night before or something, and we saw that, and they just woke up, and then they just went to kissing each other. I says, you don't ever do that to me. And she said, and I'm not going to start. Amen? Why? Because bad breath. God created us. God created this sexual intimacy to create a bond in us for when the bad breath happens and the leaving the socks on the floor and the bills come and all of these other things that you won't just jump and run because you are tied, you are sold, you are rooted to this person. God knew that after the honeymoon, there'd be the raising the kids. He knew that life would happen, and so he created us so deeply bonded with our spouse so that during the crazy seasons of life, when we sometimes don't really like our spouse, now that don't ever happen with me and Sherry. But when you don't even like your spouse, we would still be deeply bonded to them. That's God's way. That's God's way. All right, let's talk about this. Point number two is this: soul ties, drugs, and super glue. Aren't they one and the same? That's really it. All right? When we have a sexual experience, our brains produce dopamine. All right? The same chemical that feeds a gambling addiction. I don't even want to say this next one. Are your chocolate cravings? The devil's a liar. And the junkies need for the next fix. You know what? Matter of fact, I also read, ladies, that when ladies sometimes shop, it releases the same thing, dopamine, in your brain. My wife calls it retail therapy. And I say usually after she goes to retail therapy, I need therapy. All right? So dopamine is often described as the feel-good chemical of the brain, and it plays a major role in our lives, good and bad. Well, what is dopamine? You can't buy it. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that helps control the brain's reward and pleasure centers. Dopamine also helps regulate movement, emotional responses, and it enables us not only to see rewards, but to take action to move toward them. Dopamine efficiency results in Parkinson's disease. Now, you know this has got to be true because I found it on the internet. I did do some research on dopamine, but anyway. All right, so where is it? Okay, dopamine efficiency results in Parkinson's disease, and people with low dopamine activity may be more prone with addictions. The presence of a certain kind of dopamine receptor is also associated with people or sensation-seeking people called and is known as risk-takers. All right? You see, our bodies don't care, guys. Our bodies don't care if it's cocaine, a cupcake, or a Snicker bar. The devil's a liar. Or a sexual experience, dopamine will produce it and it will bind us. It will tie us, right? This is why former boyfriends and girlfriends and some friends are like a drug of choice to some people, and why some people cannot see themselves without them. I mean, you see people that I have seen men and women that they were just beat, but yet you could not get them away, they wouldn't leave. What is it? Is it, well, you know what, you know, we would say real quickly, well, they're just stupid. It's a soul tie that needs to be broken in the spirit also. You become addicted to the high. You created a soul tie when those feel-good, intimate experiences with people you weren't and aren't married to. This is also why it literally hurt some folks to break up. Soul ties are like super glue. If you've had sexual encounters outside of marriage, consensual, and I may get a little email on this one, but whether it be consensual or forced, there is most likely a lingering soul tie that needs to be dealt with. Otherwise, you'll be forever plagued with those areas, with those thoughts, with those feelings, and with those actions. They're going to be dealt with. Now, I mentioned forced encounters because although pleasure is not associated with abuse, our brains still produce a reaction and our soul can still be tied to someone who abused us. Because you know what? If you talk to enough abused people, sometimes they think they deserved it. Now, we know that's sick, isn't it? But that's a soul. You know why? You know why I haven't ever abused my wife? Because I'm scared. She told me years ago, you ever lay your hand on me, I know you got to go to sleep at some time. Mm-hmm. Some symptoms of lingering, now I want you to catch this, if you make sure you catch this. Symptoms of lingering soul ties include, I'm going to give you four of them, someone whose voice you hear in your head. They still haunt you. You can still hear their voice in your head. That's a lingering soul tie. I'm not talking about somebody that you have lost and yet you, I'm not talking about that. But we're talking about ungodly soul ties. We're talking about bad soul ties right now. But you still hear their voice in your head. You know, I can still hear sometimes my mom's voice. You know what I'm talking about? I can, you know, I've told this many times. I don't know how many times. I'd never realized I would quote Bob Lanier so much, you know, but I can hear his voice, you know what I'm saying? So, and those are not bad, but it is a clue that there is a lingering soul tie there. Obsessive daytime thought about someone. I'm not talking about you think about him every once in a while, but obsessive. All right, no, here comes another one. Dreaming or waking up at night thinking about someone on a regular basis. I'm not talking about because they're going through something and you're praying for them. That's completely different. Or someone you think of or see in your mind when you're intimate with your spouse. Yeah, we go, whew. But here's the thing. It happens. It happens. How do you know? I've been pastoring for 25 years. I've done a lot of counseling over the years. See, many times the hidden soul ties in your life deeply affect the years of your marriage. It gets so bad at times that you may even think your spouse is having an affair. And they are, but it's with a soul tie that they don't even have, that they don't even see no more. Now you're thinking, Pastor, man, you're like way off course here. No, I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. They're distant. Sometimes, you know, here I've dealt with this with Christian people who have gotten saved. And when they got saved, their intimacy, their sex life took a downhill, a nosedive because they got saved. Now, well, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does if you still feel guilt and shame and dirty feelings that they had as sexual active single people carried right into the marriage. You need to break those soul ties. We need to get that under the blood. You need to, so that you can enjoy the intimacy of marriage. Because God did not give us sex just for procreation, but He gave it for our enjoyment. You need to be able to enjoy it but you can't do that with all those soul ties still out there. And let me tell you this, that even though the feelings don't go away just because you said I do, ceremony alone is not enough to make your past sex sins disappear. You need healing. You need forgiveness. You need a clean break. All right, well, Pastor, you've talked about 40 minutes now about soul ties. Well, let me just talk a few more moments, 10, maybe 15 minutes. Point number three is this, breaking the soul tie. Let's break it. Because all of us have past soul, or not, maybe not all of us, but I would venture to say many of us have soul ties that need to be broken. Many of us need soul ties. Let me tell you this. There are some friends that I've had to distance myself from because when I get around them, I become like them. All right, now listen to me. Listen to this. And you may disagree with me, and that's cool because, you know, not everybody can be right, but I am. But anyway. You may disagree with me. If you put, and I don't mean to be light about this because it is very serious. I don't understand. I understand most sin. I don't understand this sin. But if you put a child in an audience or in a room filled with people, and that one child has been abused, whether it be sexually or whatever, and you put one pedophile in there, they will find each other. Why? Well, they haven't had any interaction, but the spirits that reign, they can point. Now you may say, well, I don't believe that. Oh, many of you used to do it when you would go to the club. You could go to the club and figure out who you could go home with and who you didn't have stand a chance with. Why? Because same spirits attract. Boy, y'all ain't shouting right now, but I hope y'all getting it. I'm hoping you're getting it. I'm hoping you're getting it. All right, here we go. Four steps to breaking soul ties. Now, Pastor, there's five. Well, I'm just going to give you, I'm not an expert. First, we need to acknowledge that there's a problem. You need to acknowledge that there's a soul tie there. Well, I don't want it to be. Well, good. That's good. Well, Pastor, I believe that if I don't acknowledge it, it won't be there. No, I'm sorry. It's going to be there. You know, part of the 12-step process. You know, you got to realize that there's a problem. And some of us won't believe that there's a problem. No, you know, no, I'm not. There's not a problem. There's a problem. So first acknowledge that there is a problem. Ask the Lord to show you who you have ungodly soul ties with. Make a list if you need to. Now be careful, because your spouse will give you a list. Oh, you need to break your tie with that one and that one and that one. I'm not talking about getting that. I'm talking about getting into alone with God and say, God, who are my ungodly soul ties? Make a list. Secondly, we need to confess and repent of our sins. Now listen closely to me, because I don't want people to go nuts here. There was a guy that I dealt with. He carried a spiral notebook with him at all times. And I counseled with him about 3 or 4 times. And every time that we would get together, we'd be talking like this. And he would say, oh, hang on a minute, Pastor. He'd take a spiral notebook out and he'd write something down. So finally I asked him, I said, dude, what are you writing down? He said, well, I just remembered that I sinned on this date and did this. It's like, my Lord Jesus. Yeah, mine would have been a 3-ring binder. One of those big 5 inches, you know what I'm saying? And some days it'd be ongoing, you know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. And so I said, bro, when you ask God to forgive you, he forgave you. Oh, really? Well, would you pray with me over this one sin? I was like, no, I'm not. I ain't got time for all that. So I'm not talking about going back and thinking about every, you know, and I'm not talking about going back and rehearsing. Boy, thank you, Holy Spirit. You don't want to go back and rehearse it, because here's the deal, because what you remember in your mind is better than what reality was. Yeah. All right. So, but confess and repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God it may involve a godly counselor. It may involve a godly person that could be your accountability partner. Again, it cannot be the opposite sex. Now, Pastor, should it be my spouse? It could be, but you got to be careful, because your spouse might not take it so well. It might create more trouble than what it's worth. Pastor, I got rid of that soul tie, but now we need marriage counseling. I mean, that's just truth, you know what I'm saying? Because some spouses can't handle that, all right? So let the Lord lead you and guide you. But find somebody who can help walk you through the process. Again, not the opposite sex. Third, we need to find forgiveness. We need to accept God's forgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves. And lastly, we need to forgive our former abusers, partners, whatever. You need to let them go. You need to let them go. You know, I remember, and I tell this, it's a little comical, but because it's broken, it's not an issue. But when my wife and I began dating, there was a young man that was in love with her. And at one point, she was in love with him, but I won. And he called one day for prayer. And we were engaged, wasn't we? We were engaged, and he called her for prayer, and I happened to answer. Can I help you? Yeah, is Sherry there? Who's this? He told me his name. I said, what you want with her? Well, I have some things I want her to pray with me about. I said, bro, you call this number again, you're going to need some prayer for healing. because I'm going to come whip your behind. He said something. I said, do you know how many millions of Christians there are? You better find another Christian's number to call, because you're about to make me unsanctified up in here. Now, you may go, oh, Pastor, you listen, I was just a young Christian. Shut up. Since then, he stayed in my house. We are friends. Kind of. Amen. He's a preacher. Yeah, he's a preacher. And every time I see him, I just look at her and say, you could be married to that. And then one of my ex-girlfriends, I introduced her to the Lord because I started bringing her to church. I wasn't saved and neither was she, but she got saved. And then when I would go back to Mobile, I could hit the Alabama state line and she had somehow knew I was there. Because now I'm a young preacher. Now she's calling me. I just need some prayer. She was like, you better find somebody else to pray. And then it was worse because she was friends with my family. But now she's married and we're all friends, but they never stayed at our house. But anyway. We might not put this one on podcast. Hallelujah. You know who you are, and everybody loves each other. All right, but we need to forgive them. You know, all right. Remember, and I used this, I think, last week. But unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Don't work, man. Don't work. Finally. Finally, now you may think, well, this is a little naive, but you need to verbalize a prayer to break off the soul tie. You need to verbalize it. Not just think it, but you need to say it. You need to say, in the name of Jesus, I break the soul tie in my life. They're not going to have any more influence over my life. I'm not going to be happy because of them. And I'm not going to be sad because of them. And I break that soul tie out of my life. Now, if it's a good soul tie, then leave it alone. If it didn't, you know, here's my sister. When I met Sherry, here's what she asked me. She says, well, and I wasn't even saved, y'all. She said, what do you think about Sherry? I was like, well, you know, Sherry's the kind of woman you want to take home to meet mama. And then the next week, I got saved. And then she said, what do you think about Sherry? I said, well, Sherry makes me want to serve the Lord. That's a good soul tie. That's a good soul tie. Somebody that wants, that encourages you. Something, you get around them and you just want to serve the Lord. You don't want to get around folks and you just get around them. All you want to do is talk about folk. You get around, all you want to do is talk about your old days and all the, you don't want to get around and have you got to be careful. You get around folks, you have a man bashing or a woman bashing. You know, you don't want to do that. But we need to say a prayer. You need to speak it out. The Bible said life and death are in the power of the tongue. And when you speak out, you're declaring with your mouth that the power of Christ is greater than the power of that soul tie in your life. And in Jesus' name, it is broken off of your life in Jesus' name. Come on back. We're going to pray here in a moment. Now, I think it's a good idea. Hey guys, I just want keyboard right now. So guitar players and drummers, y'all cool. I just want keyboard. Something's real soft. I think it's a good idea. I've got to be careful here. Hang on, let me think about it. I think it's a good idea to remove mementos, gifts, souvenirs from those past relationships. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. They gave me an expensive ring. Pawn that bad boy. Sell it. Because if you look at it and it reminds you and it takes you back to that place. Now, you wives do this all the time when their husband, they burn their clothes. I'm just going to get rid of all of it. Here's your stereo, too. Your Xbox, you know, just... But you understand what I'm saying. If it's something that holds you to that or ties you to that, that reminds you, that takes you back there, get rid of it. You don't need it, man. Break that soul tie. Break that soul tie. Stand to your feet with me. When I was preparing for tonight, I really felt like I would lay hands on some people, but it's really not, I don't believe, what I'm supposed to do. But here's what I believe we should do. Because it's not really important for me to know who or what it is. It's important for you to know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There are some images. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I feel like it's a couple of dudes. But there are images that you need to break the ties from those images. You know, because we men are very sight-oriented. We are very, and maybe you've been addicted to pornography, or you've been, whatever the case is, you need to break the soul tie of that. Pastor, that can be, yes. Yes. Because every time, those images just keep like a movie in your mind. But here's what I want us to do today. As he just plays, and as we just welcome the Holy Spirit into this place, if you have a soul tie that you know that you need to be broken, whether it is present or past, and you may go, well, Pastor, I don't want people to know. Well, nobody's going to ask you what it is. I just want you to, as a act of your faith and obedience and surrendering it to God, I want you to step out of your seat. And I want you to come around these altars and just lift up your hand and bow your head, whatever you want to do, and say, God, I give it to you. I break it. Lord, I acknowledge it. See, that's part of it. You're acknowledging it. And God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, and I forgive them. And in the name of Jesus, Urabashiki. Lord, I repent over it. And now, you don't have to say it loud or whatever, but I just want you to verbalize it. I break that power over my life in the name of Jesus, not by my power, but by the power of Jesus Christ. Yeparosanda la bohota. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we agree that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we've allowed this to go on too long in our own lives. And in the name of Jesus, I speak over those soul ties. I curse every wrong soul tie, and I bless every right soul tie. In the name of Jesus, those soul ties that would cause us and encourage us to serve you and to live for you and to go closer to you, I bless. But those, God, that would try to veer us off, that would try to subtract, to take away, divide us, I bind them in the name of Jesus. The power of your Holy Spirit. God, we can't do it. By the blood. Only by the blood. Hallelujah. Kiralabosaturaba. Ye paresi anda la bokuta. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let the weight of the Holy Ghost sweep over you now. Hallelujah. Ye paresi anda la boho. Pray with the saints. Pray. We break the power. Hallelujah. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
In the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Now here's what I feel, here's what I feel. And this is going to be seeming a little strange. I really wrestled with the Lord the last couple of moments. Here's what I feel. I want to have someone, and listen to me, you know, we're Pentecostal, but I don't want nobody shaking, baking nobody. But I want somebody, and here's what I want. I don't want it to be your spouse, but I want a man to come and just lay gently your hand on a man that's up here. And a woman to come and lay gently your hand on another woman that's up here. You know, if you know them, wonderful. If you don't, cool, it doesn't matter. But I want you to come now, because the Bible says one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. There's some of us who have some soul ties that need to be broken. That's got to be broken in our lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeparosata. Yenaralabosa. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tony. Yena rosanda bo. Yena rebasanda. Oh, break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
In the name of Jesus, Now, I don't want you to speak it out, but if you know who that soul tie is, I'm going to say part of it, but you just say the name under your breath. And I want you to repeat this after me, but then say the name under your breath. You ready? In the name of Jesus, I break the soul tie of whoever. Now say his name or their name underneath your breath. They have no more power over my life, no more influence over my life. I will not be tormented and I will not be tempted in that area anymore. By his stripes, I am healed. By his blood, I am forgiven. And I will live and shall not die. My God.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.